These are important issues that affect millions, hundreds of millions of lives. And we need the Lord to know that we're standing with Him for His rule of righteousness in our lifetime. So let me ask you to stand as we pray this morning on behalf of not only those who are laboring, but on behalf of the agenda of the Lord. I'm thoroughly convinced the demonic would love to frustrate the purposes of God. And all that will require is for God's people simply to not engage with His agenda. But let us be a part of those who do. Father, we present ourselves to you this morning as watchmen on the wall. And we see with just increased clarity how strongly divided the lines of contention have become. There's very little middle ground left anywhere in the world, Lord. People are polarizing around light and darkness. And we realize that there's great consequence for the world in this election and for this nation up front, close and personal. We realize, Father, that the enemies of the truth are amassing their suicide bombers to bring chaos and destruction in every place that they possibly can as darkness attempts to overthrow your testimony in the earth. I pray specifically for this electoral week, Father, both in Ukraine and the United States. And I ask that you would dispatch your angels as sentinels, watchers, Lord, over this affair. We come against the power of darkness that deceives men's minds and corrupts their hearts, that they might not see the glorious truth of your light. And we ask specifically, Father, that you would expose the works of darkness during this time frame, that you would forbid, Lord, that you would confuse and foul the plans of the enemy against these two great nations. We pray, Father, that you will grant to each one a political mandate, that there will be a tide of your votes for your man, whomever that is. And allow us, Father, as a people, to gird up our hearts to continue to be faithful in your kingdom and as citizens of our respective nations, that we will work for the glory of God. We stand with you in saying this. May your kingdom come and your will be done in earth just as you have it in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please take that to heart and stand firm in your diligence. If you haven't fasted in a while, tomorrow might be a good day to fast and pray. Well, some many years ago, I entered into the ministry, and in my orientation, I was in a large Assembly of God gathering where someone I didn't know on the platform welcomed someone else I didn't know onto the platform. And she directed a wonderful choir, and they had a musical presentation. And she spoke about her long history with the Assembly of God and referred to all of us out there in the audience as her family. I didn't know her or the guy who introduced her. But I sat there and watched them do what they did as old people. I'm now on the platform as an old people, with the children praying that I'll get older with them. I'm not like you other adults. I have that on good authority today. Hand a child a mic and you get a child's perspective. There was a season in my life where in my work with Mahesh Chanda, I was able to, along with your support, many of you were there with me in the different cities, and we were able to help establish a foothold in this nation for the ministry into which the Lord had launched him. I don't know if you know this, but the very first year he was sent out from the local church into apostolic ministry, we teamed up with him then, not even understanding that's what we were doing. And then we had opportunity to serve in their conferences, to train their workers as they helped establish a church in Charlotte, and then withdrew from that. But for a long, long time, Lanny Clark's name and Prague's name were big deals in that circle because we had come and served and helped establish their ministry. Then after several years of absence, transitions take place. My middle son graduated from the academy and became one of the poster children for the Watch of the Lord and praying for the for the military. He was a frequent visitor down there through our relationships, often standing on the watch, being seen on the internet internationally. And in the course of time, I had an occasion to go back for one of their conferences. And as I'm out in the hamburger area that the youth group runs to kind of raise money for the youth group during the conferences, I was standing there placing an order for my wife and I. And this young teenage gal looks up at me and she says, "Aren't you Paul Clark's father?" And I recognize it as a moment of transition. My identity had shifted from who I was into those who I had raised. And that's a significant thing. I've touched another generation and a younger generation through that generation. When I was in Australia last week, this pastor I didn't know asked me if I would preach in his church. Now, how many of you know that's kind of high risk for the local guy? But he was free to do that on the basis of what he saw in my son. Do you understand? My calling card had been there for a year already. And to my surprise, when I came back a couple of weeks later to minister in his congregation, he wasn't even there. How many of you know that's a statement? You understand? It's a statement of confidence. These things happen relationally. Let it sink in. See, much of what goes on in the body of Christ is administrative. But the things that endure are relational. This morning, we have two apostles with us. One is Bob Wright, who many of you know. I met Bob in the late 70s, and he and I have labored through life together and the understandings that tribulation allow you to purchase that bring you to the place where you understand that when God puts you together, it's for a lifetime. It's for His purposes always. It is true we are one body. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But it is also true we have relationships that are ordained of God for the purposes of God in time and space while we walk toward the grave together serving Jesus. Through Bob, I have met and been befriended by, honored in his place, and he honored in ours, Bishop Sergei Baluk, who is one of the most influential Christian men that we know about in all of Western Ukraine, Turkey, and Budapest. This influence is spreading because he's touching nations through the relationships of people that he's raised up. How many of you here today have been with us to the Ukraine? I know a number of you have gone. We've got a sprinkling of hands throughout here. This is a season of transition in our corporate experience. God has begun to send us to the nations as He promised 2 decades ago. And you're part of that. And here we have with us this morning a friend who has opened his heart to us. He has opened the influence that he has in his nation to us and has allowed us to come alongside to strengthen and encourage what God is doing there. He has proven to be a real friend. I know him to be an astute and clear man of God. And he's here this morning to share with us as he closes out his tour of the United States. I ask you to stand and warmly receive our brother, Bishop Sergei Baluk. Thank you.
The house is yours. Take your liberty.
Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for your greetings. I am very glad to be again here with you. And maybe my English will be not so good, so we can preach together. I remember when I started to preach Hungarian in Gypsies camp, so we preached together. So I learned English, and they learned the Word of God. So today I need your help and your prayer. I say greetings from Ukraine and from Lasma, my wife, and we thank you very much for you doing in Ukraine, your help, your prayer, and your support for orphanage and also for pastors and leadership conference. Thank you very much, Pastor Lenny Clark, your wife, and all your team who was here, Glenn Colby. And also thank you very much, Bob Wright and Mary Jane Wright. You're doing a very good job. I am glad that you are coming to another nation, because God said to Adam and Eve to conquer all earth, to possess land, not just to stay in paradise. For some people, America is like paradise. But I am glad that you are not staying in paradise. You want to possess all land. Hallelujah. Because we need one another. We need you. And I hope you need us. Because we one body. And I mean body in a big strategic imagination or place. We are one body of Christ in this earth. And God gives to us ability to do what He called us to do. And I call this grace. Grace, it's not like we receive something for nothing. Grace, it's like God give call to each man and each church and each nation and country. We have purpose. Country has purpose, church has purpose, couple has purpose, and you have purpose. And we have call in our life. And to do what God call us to do, we need ability. And our ability is from God. And always, if God called you to do something, it's bigger than your natural ability. And it's scary sometimes. And I remember what God told me, go to the gypsies, it scared me. And I tell, okay, I will go, but I am not holy enough. I need to pray, I need to read, I need to fast. And when God told me that we must go to Turkey, it also scared me. And I hide inside of me like several months. And once in conference, and I say this on big platform. And after I say, I listen like myself through speakers. And I was afraid. I was just to hire. Nobody see me. Because if it's not happened, like you are bad, you are a liar, you know. But if something don't scare you, it's not from God. And because when He called to something, He give grace. And He give grace to Paul to preach gospel among Gentiles. It was his calling. And I'm looking back to my days, and when we started to work with gypsies, we have evangelistic crusade in gypsies camp, and Pastor Michael asked me, Sergei, can you do again to do this work with gypsies? Because like 10 years I live with them and eat this delicious food and start to speak these languages and go into that culture. And I say, do you know, Michael, if God not give grace, I cannot do this. Because when we start to do with gypsies, several people, many hundred people came on us, tell to us, where is your secret? Because you have success. I was like looking, we have success? Oh, somebody told them we have success. Very interesting. And they told them we have secret how to do this success. And even I don't know the secret, you know. And they asked me, give me your secret. I said, okay. It's very interesting. Maybe it's just by accident they're asking this question. But after 100 people ask this question, I start to think, where is our secret? And I understand that it's just grace of God. You know? You cannot just love somebody and just to go somebody by your will and do something. You cannot do. Because many people start to do same job and they cannot make it. Why? No grace. Grace is God's power to do what He asks you to do. And if you're doing what He asks you to do, you will be winner. You will be do and work will be done. But if you're doing something, it's not belong to you, don't call you, you have no grace to do this. Paul have grace to preach among Gentiles, but he always go to first time to synagogue. He liked Jewish people, and he, because it was his blood, he tried to preach them. But he has no grace to be there. It's my interpretation. And always after 1 week, they kicked out him from synagogue. No success. He was beaten, no success. But when he go to Gentiles and preach, he also has problem. They beat him, they put him to prison, but he sings a song. And revival break in prison, in jail, was anointing. It was not his ability, it was grace of God. Once they beat him, I hope he was killed, and he put him out of city, but he resurrect. What is this? It's grace of God. And he say, I work more than any another apostles, but it's not me, it's grace inside of me. So it's very important to be in place when God called you to be. It's paradise. It's paradise to be in such place when God called you to be, because He gave grace to you. I remember one preacher was in Ukraine, and he gets so excited that he stood like this, you know. And he preached, and he fell down. Maybe he tried to walk like Peter on the water, he tried to walk on the air, but he fell down. It's called Carl Gustav from Uppsala, from Sweden, you know. And I was I'm sitting there and watch, and he fell down, but it was a big crowd, and some people don't understand. They saw that he jumped down, you know. But he go out and he broke three stuffs here, Robs, you know. Yeah. And I say always, don't go out of your grace. Do what you have to do with grace of God, and you're going to have success. Amen. I want to read Bible, Romans 8:28. Do you understand me? Yeah? Praise God. Sometimes I miss time, you know. I like future and past tense. So, but you must understand, okay? Romans 8:28. This very known place from Bible. I call it very optimistic place in the Bible. And I know many of us memorize this and knew very well. Paul say, we know, it's like sure, that all things work together for God, for good, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We know all things work for good. What things? All things. But you and I have some things in our life that we are questioning. If it's working for good? Yes, some. Yes, but some we don't like. It's even never happened in our life. Don't like this place. We can disagree with this, but God's word say that all things work together. Everybody in life meets some difficulties, and life is not easy. And we meet sometime a storm or bad situation, bad circumstances, and have to make everything what you meet in your life for good. Eagle don't run away from storm. When he see big storm coming, he just waiting, and after he raise his what he has wings and going up above the storm. So all negative in your life, for some people negative stuff can kill him, but for some people they raise him up. It depends how you react or what you're doing with stuff in your life. But from this place in Bible we can understand that in any situation you can go up. This is energy to raise you up. Sometimes we don't understand, but it's like this. In Bible, we have one place, it says, then God called light from darkness. I'm amazed with this. How is it possible? Light came from darkness. It's like darkness consumes everything. Darkness is not energy. Darkness has no wave. What's dark? Dark is when you have no light. It's dark. And God called from dark light. So, in any situation in your life, maybe darkness, God can create light. But it's working not in everybody's life. If it's working just automatically, we don't need maybe counseling, we maybe don't need pastors, we don't need advisors, because everybody good. But why we see so many people who need prayer, counseling, advisor, pastors, everything, you know? Why so many people, why we don't see in our life so much it's happened? Because here I see two reasons. If you want then everything working for good, first you must love God. And second, you must know your purpose. So two reasons. If you don't love God, it will be not work in your life. And if you don't know your purpose, you also don't see this in your life. First commandment is you need or you must to love God with all your mind, heart, power, soul, and everything put inside you. Why? Why we need to love God? Because He is suffer, He need our life. Because if you don't love Him, He offends. Did you think about this? Why we need to love God? He need our life. No, He is God who has enough everything. He can be without us very easy, much better maybe. Sometimes we create just problem for Him. But it's impossible to know God if you don't love Him. Knowledge of God starts with love. If you want to know somebody, you need to love them. If you don't love somebody, you don't know him. If you want to know better your husband, you must love him. If you want to know better your wife, you must first love her. If you want to know better your children, you need to love them. If you don't love, you cannot understand. Love gives understanding. So we need to love God to understand him better. See, Bible says that God is love. So God see everything was going here by his eyes. It's very important for us to see world, people, and everything what we have by his eyes. Some people, very clever, intelligent, can read Bible, see the wonderful nature that God created, and they don't know God. Why? Because they have no love to God. So we need eye of God to see proper way everything. His point of view, right. His point of view, objective. Everybody has his world. I see many people create or imagine his world and living in imagination. Very few people living in really life. Very few people just by self. What I found that it's not easy to be by self. Many people, actors in life, play theater. They play different role. They see somebody and copy somebody. It's not easy to be natural. So it's not easy to see everything right way. I say, like many people has eyeglasses. Glasses, black or green or pink. You know? Dark glasses, everything bad, not good. They can find in good, bad, you know. Pink, everything, you know, like for young people, pink, everything, you know. But it's not right. One farmer try give to cow green glass and feed them, not grass, some other stuff, you know, this yellow stuff. I don't know how they call it. Yeah, this. You have bread here, but this. Straw. He give green glasses to cow and feed them this. But cow is clever. They just try. It's not grass. You know, to have reality in your life, you need to be in his point of view, to see world by his eye. It's very important. It's not easy. For some people, it takes all life to understand this. So, because that first command, we need to love God. If we love God, we can see by His eyes everything that's going in this earth. You know, He can see everything. He can knew everything that's going in mine, and He is not crazy. Why? I see some people, they have some problem in life, they some bad circumstances, and they get depressed very easy. Why? Because they don't see in proper way. Second commandment, it's we need to love our neighbor. Neighbor, yeah. Why? Because. But why? You know, when God says something, it has meaning deeper than we thinking. You cannot know or you cannot say true about another man if you don't love him. So if you don't love somebody, say nothing about him. Because your point will be not right. Because right point, this is if you love somebody. Jesus said, you must know truth, and truth make you free. Not just truth, but knowledge of truth. Okay. Second, everything working for good if you knew your call, your purpose. When God saved you, or your salvation has purpose. Do you know this? Why God saved us? Good question. Sometimes we ask people, you must save, you must save. Why? Just not go to hell and come to church and sit every Sunday. Your salvation has purpose. What's the purpose of our salvation? Amen? But what purpose? It's a question. What? Okay, maybe it's true, I don't understand that. To praise God. To preach gospel, to praise God. Okay. But what else? 29, same chapter. To be conformed to the image of his son. This is purpose of our salvation. To be like God. God saved us and He don't send us to heaven quickly because His purpose then we must be like His Son, His image. I believe icon. You don't? Icon. Do you know what icon? Picture. Image. In Ukraine, Orthodox Church believe very hard about icon. And if you know history, they fight for that. Somebody says adultery, some say it's not. But I believe to icon. You say, how? You are Protestant. Yes, but I believe. I believe icon, not by hand made it. I believe God's icon in your life. See? When we get saved, our target to let God made in us by Holy Spirit His image. So if you have this foundation, you can live through life this purpose and everything working for good. I met some people, they get sick a little and they pray and they were sick. They pray and they still to be sick. I say, why God forgive us? Why I am not healed? And they become discouraged and offended with God. God, why it's happened? Why am I sick? Why this? You know, like that. Why? Because they don't understand purpose. When I was maybe 15 years ago, we have just started home groups, just started to church, you know. And I have car, Žiguli, and we have meeting inside the home. And young people was there, young boys. We go out, and I see my car has no mirror anymore. And I say, praise God. You know, I don't remember this, but they remind me. These three guys, after 5 years, they told, Sergei, do you know when we decide to be Christian? Not when you preach in home. When we go out, and when we see that your car has no mirror, and they take this everything, you know. And when we see how you react to this, we decide to be Christian. You know, sometimes some bad things happened in our life, just purpose or just opportunity for us to show His image. That's all. So, purpose is not to be free from some stuff, you know, like this, but to show His image. It's a total different point of view. Sometimes it's not easy. I remember one gypsy woman told me, oh, Sergei, help me. I'm such so problem this, with children, with husband. I'm, it's too much for me. And I say, do you know, Jesus was crucified. It was difficult for Him. Much difficult than you are walking. Do you know what she answered me? She said, okay, He was Son of God, and He knew that He's going to resurrect. And I say, and you too, you're going to resurrect too, you know. You know, sometimes when we have some problem, it's difficult. I remember just, I have big vision for Germany, because in Germany lives 3 million Russian-speaking people. They were German in Soviet Union, but when they came to Germany, they become Russian, you know, so like never home. And 3 million Turks. And God gave vision how to reach these people and save Europe from Antichrist, you know, to make big revival through those people, because Europe dead, you know, spiritually. And I bought big map, and also we bought car in Germany. And I came just to Ukraine, 24 hours, no sleeping. We stand 5 hours on the border. I came to my home, go up to my flat, take some stuff from car. And after 10 minutes, I came down with my son, and he asked me, "Daddy, where is car?" I say, "It's gone. Gone." And he asked me, "Where he is gone, this car?" I said, "Far away." And I don't believe, you know. I stand on the big flat home, and I don't believe. I saw maybe it's like I dream, you know. 24 hours, don't sleep. So I try to go place when car was exist, you know. And I go like this, just slowly. Maybe I will hit this car, you know. And I try to do like this. And I go through, you know. I don't believe. Just 10 minutes was here, now nothing, you know. And I go back. Try nothing. So, and I look around. Some people stop and watch me, you know. What I am doing like this, you know. So I go back and stand, you know. It was terrible feeling, you know. Terrible. I don't realize yet that somebody stole my car. And I go up. And say, "Last month, car was stolen." She said, "I don't believe you." So she ran away. She ran, see, no car. And it was stolen, my map of Europe, very nice map. Like my vision, you know. Everything was stolen. And I saw, okay, Sunday I must be preaching church. Oh my goodness. What I tell to people, you pastor, you was robbed. Somebody stole your car. Maybe you have saved your life. Where is angel? Why they don't protect you, you know? All stuff like this. So, what to do? I don't sleep the next 24 hours. We go to police. Police give a hard question. Who traveled with you? Maybe they steal this car. Maybe you done this with purpose. All this stupid, you know? I never think that they thinking like this, you know? And after that, I go to look for my car. Through night, you know, through Mukachev, everywhere. We travel maybe 5 hours. No, they're looking even now for a car. It was very bad feeling, you know. But I don't know why it's happened. After 1 month, I have enough money to buy another car. It was Audi 80, and I have enough money to buy bigger car, Audi 100. But I was afraid to buy this car. If they steal again, how I can came to church, or, you know. So when I bought car, every 5 minutes I look through window. So, like 2 months, you know. Fear is very big power, like spirit of fear, you know. I realize this fear coming, you know. And, you know, in everything what we have in our life, we need to show His image, His icon. Good example from Bible is life of Joseph. He has dream. He has vision. He sees stars, moon, sun. And his father loved him very much. He gave him very nice clothes. God showed him his life is going to be wonderful, wonderful, and more wonderful. And father tell him, "Go to give sandwich to your brother." So he came, and when they see him, they decide to kill him. So he give food to them, and they take clothes from him. He become naked, and he put him to pit. Why? God, what's happened? Where is prophecy? Where is my dream? Where is star? You know, you can see star even in the daytime when you're very deep in the pit. So if you are in the pit, what to do? Just to look to the star. God, it's your will. You don't say me about this. You say me just about good stuff. I don't know if sometimes God forget to tell about difficulties. When he told me go to the gypsies, he also forgot to tell me all difficulties, you know. And when he tell to Israelites, go to promised land. There are honey and milk. They can eat and drink. And he forgot to tell about giants. So when they came, they see honey and milk, but they are afraid of the giants. You know, God shows us top of mountains. But before top of mountains, you have value. And valleys, yeah, before go up, before climb to up, sometimes you climbing down. When they took clothes from Joseph, it means bye-bye, old life, but it was very good. His father loved him very much, you know. And just in the morning, he was like son of a lovely family, lovely father, with clothes, and clothes represent his identity. He lost his identity. Who are you now? Slave. Sold. By brothers. They would kill me. You know, just in the morning, he was son. Afternoon or evening, he slave. Very big transformation. So he came to Egypt and he became, he became good again. And again, he's naked. Prison, jail. God, why? What I'm doing wrong? What's happening? You know, how he do this life without tranquilizator? Tranquilizator? How you say English? Tranquilizer. How he live without this? How Joseph live like 15 or 20 years in bad situation without depression? Without family, without parents, without church. He goes through all this lie, bad stuff in his life. You know, when they ask him before Pharaoh, and this witchcraft man, also they was very clever, priest of Egyptian religion, they say, he knew more than we. You know, it was good job to, because 7 years for good crop, rich going, you know. If you knew then something going to prosper, you can go and work for them, yes. But they decide, we don't want to do this job. Can you imagine? It was a good opportunity to be rich. But this guy who was like minister in Pharaoh's place, they say, they decide, we don't want to do this job. 7 years of good economic revival is going in country, but they decide we are not participating in this place. They decide to give this job the man who just came from jail in the morning. See, in the morning he was in jail, and afternoon he was big man. And before he was good son, and evening he was slave. Metamorphose. Why? Why Joseph, he was in prison, but he was not crazy. He was not depressed. He was wise. I think when he was in prison, he knew life. He read newspaper, Egyptian newspaper. He understood economic. He prepared himself for top. He believed prophecy. He believed his dream, you know. They took his clothes. He took his identity. He took many stuff from him, but they don't took his vision. And because they don't took his vision, was based of the word of God, they cannot destroy him. So never allowed for Satan and people in your life steal your vision. Keep your vision and stand on this vision. Amen? It's very important. So he become ruler of Egypt. Why the bad stuff happened in his life? Maybe because his father Jacob make sin. He betrayed, yes. He betrayed his brother, Esau. He stole firstborn. He was liar. And because Jacob was liar, Joseph go to jail and pit. Yes? No. Maybe because Abraham made sin. And this sin going through for generation. No. Why? Joseph one is in jail and the pit. Why? Who puts him then? Brothers. When God was with Joseph? All the time. In prison and in the pit. You know, we will open one more scripture and we will see God's perspective of this situation. I always asking, can God make another way? Why he choose this way? I don't know. Let's open Psalms 105. We will see how God see this situation. We look from our perspective, human being perspective. Now Psalm 105, 17. He, God, sent a man before them. When I read this, I was surprised. God says and he sent a man. Joseph probably was 17 years old when he came to Egypt. And he came not like man. Did he came like man? No, he came like slave. Without money, without clothes, without nothing. Betrayed by brothers, offended maybe. Oh, why I'm here? What's happening? Lord, where are you? I'm in prison. Blah, 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 blah. No. God says and he sends a man. When we... why? It's this place of Bible talking about preparation for all nation to be nation. Like they was not nation yet, you know. So, it was purpose by God to send somebody to Egypt to prepare place, to make base for Jacob and all people who are coming. And they're going to be a nation there, you know. So, when you send somebody like missionary, you give money to him. They learn some languages. They have somebody with them. Support, prayer, everything. Okay, good. You just pump, 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 and pump. God don't pump. I was amazed. You know, some people in our church say, Sergei, we need this, we need this. Now I know what to say then. Maybe you understand. God sent Joseph like a man enslaver image. Like, very poor. Who is Joseph? Slave. Nobody pay attention. But God pay attention. See? And second part of this verse says, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They heard his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. Ukrainian translation say, the word of God reveal him. Reveal him. And he just raised up. What do you think? The tent of his brothers going to be in heaven or hell? Heaven? Why? Because they sold him? They want to kill him? They were so nice? Why they heaven? Because he's a patriarch, okay, but God is good judge. Just. Good question. They sold him. They tried to kill him. They lied to father. You know, they made clothes with blood. Are they going to be in heaven? Ooh. But I think they're going to be in heaven. Not because it's chosen people. Not every Jew is going to be in heaven. If they don't receive Jesus, they will be not in heaven. Why? Remember when they came to Joseph and said, your father asked forgiveness for your brothers. Remember this place? And Joseph said, I am afraid of God. See, what protected him? He afraid God. You cannot afraid God if you don't believe him. And you cannot believe to him if you don't love him. So, why everything working for good? He say, you have in your mind to make evil. God made this for good. See, it's happening in his life. Why? Because he loves God. He don't understand very much, but he still to love him. And because he knew his calling. These two reasons works everything for good to him. So when 10 brothers observe his life, they convert. Because they have very tough heart. And they don't believe when Joseph preached them. They hate them. Because he more preached, they hate more. But after they observe his life, they convert. And their heart become tough and they start to be good men. One man say, I preach always. If it's necessary, I use the word. Preaching like life, the most powerful preaching. To be wise, you need to know truth. And second, you need to know lie. And to know determinate. It's good for determinate between truth and lie. So Joseph knew truth in his life, what God said to him. His dream, the calling. And also he knew lie for brothers, women, circumstances, everything. So he became wise. And he became to place when he can rule. But it's not mean like only bad stuff working for good. You must be icon of God when you're poor and when you're rich. You know, sometimes when people become rich, they lose image of God. Sometimes when people going to prison, they lose image of God. Sometimes it's going in power, they lose prison. They lose image of God. So, you need to be always ready to know his purpose. To show his image in poor country, in rich country. When you're well and when you're not well. Economy is going good or economy is going not good. Paul say, I can be in poor, in rich, in freedom and not freedom, everywhere. You know, he was above what? Above everything. And because he was above, he can go higher like eagle. So everything in his life worked for good. Thank you very much that you listen to me. And I hope it It's help for somebody. And maybe now you don't understand very much in your life. Maybe you're going through good time. Don't forget your image. You know, some people have image of beast. Good word or not? Or I mean, right word, beast. Animal. Yeah. Yeah. Our calling not to have his image. Our calling to have God's image. He created us for his image. We lose his image. Now we recreate in his image. So to be like him, it's for everybody, for high and low people. Let's stand up and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I ask your wisdom for our life. Give to us your eyes to see for life through you. We understand your word and we want to love you and we want to know your purpose in our life. And I ask your blessing for people who need today your encourage and your help. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us. We give you glory. Thank you for your love to us. You are wonderful God, and we love you. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
There you have it, straight from the throne to encourage your hearts. Would you be seated? We want to receive an offering and invest in the ministry that God is doing in the Ukraine, and in particular, the effectiveness with which he has demonstrated his grace through Bishop Sergei. The stories you heard this morning, the allusions to the things that God has spoken, are genuine and real, and we have seen the evidence. I remember when Sergei was first telling me about the Bible school that I and several of our folks have taught in, and many of us have supported financially. He was simply saying to his people, God told me we're to start a Bible school, and it will begin in October. This was August. He had no facility, no teachers, no curriculum, no money, no students. And it's been running since that October ever since. When you obey what God says to your heart, he releases the grace to bring it into time and space. That's the way it works for us. Brethren, would you come? If you need offering envelopes, the brothers have some. Make your checks out to Prague. Every penny we collect goes exactly for what we tell you it goes for. While the brethren are serving us in this capacity, let me call to your attention the things that you've heard this morning. I've been provoked by the Lord recently in a very personal way that's going to have corporate consequences for us. And I will, I think I'll introduce it like this. I'll come back and develop this in the months ahead. But I've been awakened to an understanding that I have intuitively but didn't possess cognitively. I couldn't articulate it well. There is a parable in the scripture, the parable of the sower. You're familiar with it. It's in Matthew chapter 13. But there is a facet about it that is opening up for me that I never understood until recently. And it has to do with Jesus explaining the parable to his disciples after he says to them, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That is, we're supposed to have the understanding of the kingdom. And in the explanation of the parable, he says that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Now, the word understand here has to do with the way humans absorb things. It is not speaking about a mental assent. That word means that which you experience through your senses, through your eyes, through this sense of smell and taste and hearing and touching. When they don't understand it, when they don't sense it, when they don't taste it, they don't hear it, they don't feel it, then the devil is able to come and take that word not out of their understanding, but out of their heart. Follow me on this. When Sergei comes and declares the word of the Lord, and you sense the grace of God in it for you, and you don't act on it, the devil is able to come and take that word out of your heart, but not out of your understanding. It doesn't profit you. But the next time you hear it, you go, yeah, that's true. Bless God, these people need to hear that. And what you end up with is a form of godliness, but no power in it. Because it is to be acted upon if you're going to possess it. See, the thing I appreciate about the story of Joseph is he never lost sight of the vision God had given to him. When she says, when Potiphar's wife says, come lie with me. He says, why would I do that? Your husband has withheld nothing from me except you. Why would I dishonor God? He had not forgotten what had been spoken. When his brothers came before him, he said, look, not about this anymore because But because it got tough, you set them aside. Because they rejected you, you said, if you're going to be that way, see ya. What do you suppose the requirement of the Lord is in that situation? The higher you are, the more you can see. The more you can see, the lower you can go. Do you understand? The lower they are, the less they can see. So if someone is going to make a move, it has to be thee. They can't come to where you are, but you can go to where they are because you see more than they. The other issue has to do with losing your vision. Every single one of you know in your heart of hearts you're on this planet for a purpose. It may not be clear to you, but your survival depends on your belief in that. And it keeps you going. I sat with a 68-year-old man recently who was telling me God is not finished with him yet. He doesn't know what he's going to do, but he knows God is going to do through him. Now that's a wonderful word of hope. I had a personal encounter with the Lord recently on my destiny. I was calling into question where I am and what I'm doing. And in a very matter-of-fact, practical, and yet extraordinarily clear way, the Lord recommunicated to me, "You are my man in the right place at the right time." Now, folks, we all need to be reminded of that. What is it that you need to be reminded of? What is it that you've set aside or let life steal from you? You knew years ago what that thing was in your heart that made your lights come on. When you thought about it, there was a rise in the energy level of your spirit because you knew that's where your life was headed. That's what God wanted for you. And you let it get soul short and you think perhaps you've missed the opportunity. Listen, this is the moment for you to reengage with God on that. The power of having your vision is this. God gives you His vision to awaken your perseverance. I know what God has called me to, and I'm not going to let you steal it. Whatever the you is, circumstance, poverty, sickness, misunderstanding, betrayal, abandonment, doesn't matter. When you know it's yours, God has done that to awaken your determination to not let go of it. If you know this morning that there is a relationship that the Lord is going to require of you to go love again, I want you to stand up. If you know this morning that your dream has been stolen, you've grieved over it and set it aside, but you want the Lord to reawaken it, I want you to stand. We need, those of us who are standing, we need to experience God's presence. We need His wisdom to go obey in these two areas. I want to ask you to come to the altar and meet with God this morning. To awaken that love affair, to rekindle your vision, and give you a specific word to obey today that the grace might be unplugged. This is so important. This is so important. We either obey or we deny the power and keep the form. What I'm asking you to do right now in the presence of the Lord is to ask God to rekindle wisdom for how to love that relationship. To ask God to give you an act of obedience, to reawaken the grace for the vision to which He's called you, whatever that thing is. And if this means you need to come to some overseer and say, I want you to hold me accountable to this. God has shown me I'm to do this. You make sure that I walk that out. You walk it out with me. Okay? Father, we're understanding things we have not known and seeing with a clarity we have not possessed. And in this moment, we're understanding our need for Your grace. A fresh outpouring of it, Father, on our relationships and for the vision You've planted in our hearts. We have been without wisdom and discouraged. We ask You for wisdom and for courage. I pray in the name of Jesus that You, Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit who dwells within, will awaken the word of wisdom right now. I want some of our folks who move prophetically to come stand up here with me and just ask the Lord if He's got a specific thing He would say to some of these folks. Father, as we stand here this morning, we are keenly aware of our need to become radical in obeying You in order to see Your grace manifested in time and space. Father, allow us, I pray, a deep sense of spiritual unrest until we begin to walk out the things that You've set before us today. I pray that before Thanksgiving, we will begin to hear testimonies from the lips of these men and women of how You have begun to restore relationships they thought were lost. I pray that before Thanksgiving, we will begin to hear of opportunities opening up for these folks who are standing before You today to experience the beginning of the refreshing of the vision of God, that You will give them specific opportunities to do and participate in those things that You have called them to. And may we, Lord, with each testimony, hear the electricity of Your excitement and anointing and grace in Jesus' name. We're going to allow our ministry team people just to move among you. And if you have a desire for specific prayer, you just raise your hand and they'll come to you. But beloved, I just ask you, I urge you in the name of Christ to let these coming days be days of active, aggressive obedience. And let us hear the testimony of God's grace released through you in Jesus' name. Sergey, my friend, thank you so much for encouraging us, strengthening us today. I want to ask you to stand. We're going to dismiss you. I pray that you'll not quickly disappear, but that you would, in fact, take your fellowship out into the lobby so we have opportunity to pray and minister here. But these are important days of transition for us. And I ask in the name of Jesus that the grace of our Lord and the love of God our Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit would be with you. If you have any other prayer needs today, you need to begin a relationship with Christ. You need to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need healing in your physical body. We invite you to come to the front, but the rest we release to go and enjoy fellowship with one another. Remember, pray, vote, pray. This is an important week. Thank you and God bless you. You're dismissed.